This is exactly right.
Hello. We want to take a second to tell you about one of our favorite podcasts, Disgraceland. If you like music, pop culture, and true crime, this is the podcast for you.
Through host Jake Brennan's deeply researched storytelling, you'll hear all about the lives and crimes of musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Jay-Z, the Rolling Stones, and so many more.
And now Disgraceland is expanding to include artists, actors, athletes, and other icons from Anthony Bourdain to Andy Warhol.
Full episodes are released every Tuesday. Check out Disgraceland on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen.
Goodbye.
And welcome
to My Favorite Murder,
the mini-sode.
That's right.
We read you emails.
Yeah, you know how this goes. It's been years.
It's your thing.
Should I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
Hometown story. Scary theme park story. Hi, Karen and Georgia. Great podcast. Thumbs up.
Thank you.
I was listening to a mini episode and heard Georgia state that she loves spooky / scary theme park stories. And I perked up. I've never been happier to have a near-death, traumatizing life event. So to preface this story, when I was in elementary / junior high school, I was a fearless adrenaline junkie who loved theme park rides. These days, I hurt my neck by just looking in the wrong direction. My, how things have changed. It was the summer after sixth grade, and one of my best friends was moving to another state. Her family invited me to a local theme park as one last hurrah before they left. The day had been great, fun rides and yummy fair food. The day was winding down and my friend's little sister, let's call her Bailey, wanted to go on the main roller coaster, the Tornado, one last time. Nobody else was up for it, so I volunteered to go with her. So we get through the line, get in our seats, and pull down the lock bar. The ride started, and I remember being annoyed because there were these two young boys in the back of the ride screaming. The ride just started. It wasn't that exciting. They continued to scream, and I looked back, and to my dread, they were standing up.
No.
Yeah, I'm no genius, but standing up in a moving roller coaster is no bueno. So I pulled at the lap bar, and sure enough, it wasn't locked.
Oh.
At this point, everyone on the coaster noticed as well and started screaming. We were trying to get the ride operator's attention, an older gentleman who seemed to be staring off into space.
Mm-mm.
We started going up the at least 4-story hill, and Bailey was losing her shit. She was screaming and crying, "We're gonna die, Katie, we're gonna die." Somehow I was able to keep some of my composure and threw my arm in front of her and screamed back, "We are not gonna die, calm down, we'll be fine." Internally, I was convinced this was it. We weren't going to make it. Even if we didn't fly off the roller coaster while going downhill, there were several tight spirals afterwards.
Mm.
I even remember thinking about where we could potentially jump off the ride and potentially survive with some broken bones.
Fucking A.
I know.
This is a nightmare.
Nightmare. And it's a little kid. It seemed like an eternity before the ride suddenly stopped just after the first car started going over the peak of the hill.
Oh, no.
Employees of the park ran up the hill and with a screwdriver locked each bar into place. We were forced to finish the ride.
No.
Can you imagine?
No!
Thankfully, to those two boys who raised hell, we survived. Later, we found out that it wasn't a malfunction of the lap bar. The ride operator simply forgot to switch on the lock.
I'm sorry, sir. You're out of here.
Sir? Sir.
Sir, work at the library.
Yes, so we're quiet.
Please.
Awesome. People always ask me if I'm now terrified of roller coasters, and I simply respond, no, I just check to make sure it's locked.
Yeah.
I'm now 36 years old, and I remember that terrifying experience like it was yesterday. Thank you again for the lovely audio experience. Stay your awesome selves, Katie, she, her.
Katie, thank you for a story that actually gave, put a little tension in my shoulder.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm like, ow, my shoulder hurts. Because I immediately started imagining how I would just start pulling down on that bar, how you're going to keep yourself in your seat.
You'd have to hold on in the loops. I wonder if there's ever been, a whole, cars of people who died. Like, you always feel hear one person falling out, but not like nobody was trapped in stories. That's awful.
It's so bad because you have to, like, especially roller coasters that go in loops. Like, it's bare minimum that your bar is
seriously. Even then, you're not guaranteed anything.
I know. It's bad enough. Fuck. Okay. Good one. The subject line of this email is, "My badass grandma made me stalk Stephen King."
Oh.
"Dear Karen, Georgia, and my favorite mustache." Amazing. Like, 7 years. And they're the first person to have done that for Stephen. Amazing. Okay. "I've literally listened to all of your episodes over the past year and a half." Hmm. "Yes, I work from home. I get so sad when I scroll to only see the green check marks beside each episode. Endlessness searching for a little unchecked gem." Aww. So know that feeling listening to podcasts.
I did too.
"Anyway, this story is about my badass grandma, Pat. Pat was a nurse, pilot, model, your basic 1950s, I can do what I want woman. Grandma Pat grew up on the Jersey Shore. She moved in with us when I was about 5 years old, and she was in her late 50s. And then parentheses it says, but she seemed much older. Mm-hmm. She loved to have me curl her hair, then criticize me for how I did it."
I'm sorry, 6-year-old child. Yep. "You fucked it up.
You fucked it up. Can you please focus? She would put on a full face of makeup every Christmas morning and then pretend like she just woke up." I love this woman. "Always camera ready. Often she would peel an entire orange in one peel and then place the rind back in the fruit bowl and offer it to an unsuspecting guest and then cry with laughter when they grabbed it."
Oh my God.
"Those are just a few of my favorite memories. On to the story. I grew up in Bangor, Maine, home of Stephen King." Ugh,
amazing.
Right? "He actually lived very close to us in a big red Victorian house with a wrought iron fence adorned with iron spiders, webs, and bats." And then it says scary. "We would trick-or-treat at his house only for the full-size candy bars he would give out." Just fucking, it's a real mark of character, Stephen King, that you give out full-size candy bars.
Absolutely.
On Halloween.
Absolutely.
God bless. "Otherwise, we would stay away from that fucking frightening house." "Grandma Pat was obsessed with Stephen King. He would walk to the library almost every day right by our house. Pat knew his schedule. Often she would make me play catch in our front yard, only to throw the ball out into the road where I would ultimately have to chase the ball into his path."
Oh my God.
Genius. "Then she would blame me and apologize just to get to talk to him. She would force me to the library, insisting that I needed to read more. And then we would spend the day in the adult section watching Stephen King."
I don't. So she was stalking him. I mean, that's what it's called.
Fully stalking, using a child as a prop to stalk, to aid and abet. And then it says, "I don't think I ever checked out a book." "My grandma even made me watch Pet Sematary and It to," quote unquote, "prep me for our King encounters."
The two most scarring movies to watch as a child.
They're the two, well, I guess many of them are, but two definitely that are about children experiencing horrifying things.
Yeah, terrifying.
And then it says, "These are just a few of my favorite memories. My grandma passed unexpectedly at 64 years old of a stroke. We buried her in the actual pet cemetery, the perfect resting spot for my murderino grandma. Aww. My grandma has visited me a few times in my dreams, always telling me how proud she is and offering encouraging words like, 'Don't fucking worry about that shit,' and 'You've got this because you're an intelligent, incredible, strong woman.'" Aww. Ugh. I love that so much. "The mm-hmm. King may have unintentionally provided my grandma with her inner strength, but I know I get mine from her."
Oh.
This is such a funny, goofy story that then is like, oh, thanks for stabbing me in the heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
"Stay sexy and help your grandma stalk the King of Horror, N."
I love that. I love that she was 50 too. Like somehow that is like, I picture my grandma, my little old lady grandma, and now I realize she was like 60. It's like not that fucking old at all.
It's not at all. It's not at all now. No. But when you're a child, they're fucking like Methuselah. It's crazy.
Okay.
Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye.
This is called MFM Save Me From Sex Trafficking.
Jesus.
Hey guys, I've been listening to your podcast since 2019 when a friend of mine said it was necessary for dog walks. Lol. Let's get into my story. Last year around New Year's, my then boyfriend, now husband, his dog and my dog decided to put our relationship to the ultimate test and rent an RV and drive from Scottsdale, Arizona to Hilton Head, South Carolina. Hmm. And all the way back to the good old OC, California. My hometown is Tustin, California, in search for the best barbecue in the south portion of the USA. Sounds like a dream.
Amazing trip.
At the beginning of the trip, we have multiple days of 11-hour driving days to get across New Mexico and Texas, and I turned on like 3 straight hours of MFM. My husband, after 3 hours, said he didn't like all the murder talk and insisted we listen to random stand-up comedy for the next few days. I get it, when you need like a palate cleanser.
Absolutely.
After our stories.
Yes, God.
Fast forward to the end of our trip. After 26 glorious days on the road, we decided that staying in the plains of West Texas, where my husband's whole family is from, was fun just for a plate of Tex-Mex, but not fun enough to set up camp. So we met up with family members for lunch and decided to book it all the way from Midland to Las Cruces to get a good chunk of the drive done on our way to OC. After a few minutes into our 6-hour drive, my husband says, "Fine, you're right. I do love MFM. Can we listen to more?"
Hey.
Hey. And I eagerly played 4 straight hours of minisodes. He says he doesn't like the girl gossip in between the originals. Excuse me.
Shut up.
And we drove laughing and enjoying the podcast the whole way. Shortly after we passed by El Paso at 6 p.m., my husband said he was starving and needed me to look up a local barbecue pit for some food before the last leg of the drive. We found one not far out of El Paso, and we parked across the street from the restaurant in a dark, empty Chase Bank parking lot.
Oof.
My husband is a real estate agent and had to finish up some paperwork to sell a house for a client, so I offered to take the dogs outside for a good walk and let them go to the bathroom. I listened to another minisode while I sniffed literally every inch of this Chase Bank, probably 25 minutes, and then walked back to the RV, took their leashes off, and walked into the restaurant to get a table for us while my husband finished up the paperwork and shortly after met me inside. After eating, we walked back to the RV, and when we opened the door and sat in the driver's seat, there was a red rose under our windshield wiper. I looked at my husband, and we both turned sheet white, and he immediately said, "Lock your fucking door and put your seatbelt on." He drove probably 60 miles per hour out of this parking lot and onto the freeway entrance nearby with a very angry but also terrified look on his face. As we were leaving the parking lot, I noticed two very old shitty cars with blacked out windows sitting in the parking lot very close to us, facing our RV with men in the front seat. As we drove away, I looked up the meaning of this and saw that a red rose indicates a solo female traveler and is used to lure the female out of the car so the traffickers can grab her from behind with a chloroform towel to abduct. So you see, they think the girl sees the red rose. You don't believe it?
Well, there's some of these. I've definitely heard a lot of versions of this, uh-huh. and there's some that have been entirely debunked. Same thing with there's used to be zip tie on the handle. But this is a person who's telling her firsthand experience of looking at people and seeing that there are other people kind of sitting there for no reason in shitty cars watching her thing. So who knows?
And she had looked alone in the beginning because he was still in the car.
Yes, entirely.
I came to learn that El Paso was one of the largest trafficking borders in the country, and that was most definitely the agenda. We drove straight through Las Cruces and all the way back to Scottsdale, Arizona, to our driveway. My husband was too scared to stop the RV, so our five-hour trip ended up being an 11-hour drive. Still to this day, he brings it up and says, if we hadn't been listening to Karen in Georgia for hours on end, I wouldn't have had my guard up about that rose, and most likely would have gotten out to grab that rose.
Yeah.
Thank you for your wonderful show and making us both slightly neurotic about getting murdered or abducted. At the end of the day, it saved me from God knows what. My husband is now a huge fan, and we love listening to your show on all of our road trips. I'm sure you're wondering what the best barbecue was over 10 states. Houston, Texas took first place with a restaurant called Pit Room. Dallas was an easy number two. Stay sexy and don't grab the rose off your windshield, Sydney.
I mean, Sydney, that's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, like that, the whole thing is just, look, whether it's a specific thing, whether it's like a trend, whether it's whatever, it gets people to pay attention to their surroundings, to pay attention to the fact that if you are doing something with your dogs by yourself, you might be seen and, you know, who knows? There's no minus as long as people keep it in perspective of like, this is possible or it's not. Like, looking that up and seeing what it actually could mean and what the facts are is the key.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it just makes me think of there was some influencer, and I can't remember if it was like an Instagram thing or whatever, but it took place in Petaluma. She was from Sonoma, I think. Mm-hmm. But she was in a parking lot in front of a Michael's in Petaluma. Mm-hmm. And she got on and started to, like, doing a live stream about how there were traffickers in a parking lot there. She was talking about just like two locals that she basically didn't like the looks of. And it was this thing that, like, at first she was like, I'm just really scared and did this whole thing. And she made the whole fucking thing up and was doing basically this, you know, like,
oh my God,
I was in peril for clout.
Wow.
So everything obviously has to get taken with a grain of salt. And things have gone so far beyond, like, you know, everything has become that kind of like urban legend type of thing where people are so concerned because sex trafficking is a real thing. It's an issue and it's a problem.
Yeah.
And so it's like, keep your eyes out for it. Make sure.
Keep your hackles up a little bit.
For sure.
Yeah.
And do your research and also, you know, convert your husbands to, sorry, I told you to shut up, husband of Sydney. You know me.
Yeah.
You know me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like. I'm that one. Okay. This one I love. I'm not going to read you the subject line. It just says, in Fairbanks, Alaska, someone thought it was a great idea to build the local correctional center, the town jail, and the outdoor youth soccer fields directly next to each other.
Oh, God.
One random summer evening in the early aughts, when I was maybe 9 or 10, my soccer team was one of the last ones at the complex playing that night. Out of nowhere, a man comes running onto our field, being chased by multiple cops on foot, followed by cop cars flying onto the grass, lights and sirens ablaze. Oh, this man was then tackled and handcuffed right on our field in the middle of our soccer game. I don't know how people knew this or if it was just our parents' assumptions, but the story was that the man had escaped from that correctional facility and went running. For being 9 and 10-year-old girls, we all handled it pretty well and were excited about the drama. I only remember one girl crying and being upset, but it was her birthday, so that's understandable. If memory serves correctly, the cops quickly packed up and left, and we went on with our game. Shout out to Eclipse 95, Dee Dee. Just, and the subject line was prisoner escape, lighthearted, short and sweet.
I love that. Yeah. What do? You just keep playing. You're not going to forfeit because of this reason.
No. And kind of, it's just like, well, I think we're fine.
Yeah.
Obviously it's been handled.
That happened.
So, you know, just the one gal whose birthday got lightly ruined.
I love that. But it was okay. Her birthday.
It was her birthday.
All right. Got to go in a money machine. Got another one. Dear Karen and Georgia, I can't believe I finally have something to share with you. I always thought when I wrote in, it would be about my distant relative who somehow managed to drown in a bucket. But unfortunately, I can't get enough details out of my mom to make a story of that. I was just listening to Minisode 325, in which a listener wrote about her 21-year-old friend who got to go into a money booth at a casino in Colorado. Well, ladies, at my Catholic grade school outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, we had an assembly every year in which child after child had the opportunity to try their luck in a money booth.
Everybody?
Mm-hmm. Or as we called it, the money machine. This opportunity was offered as an incentive for selling a certain amount of magazine subscriptions in the annual fundraiser for our school.
God.
The money machine was a highly sought-after prize, second only to the limo lunch, in which students got to get picked up at the school in a limo and be taken to lunch at a nearby Pizza Hut.
What?
It was the late 90s, and limos were considered the height of luxury.
I guess that is really exciting.
Right? With like, you pick your 6 best friends or whatever. Oh my God.
And go to Pizza Hut.
Fuck yeah. Remember it was like a sit-down dining restaurant before.
Yeah, that's right. I think, didn't they have a big salad bar in the middle?
Salad bar. Yeah, it was like a Sizzler.
Yeah.
My older brother, Andy, and I went door-to-door in our neighborhood, which was strictly prohibited by the school for a reason. Because they don't want to get kidnapped. Selling magazine subscriptions to friendly neighbors and strangers alike in pursuit of our turn in the money machine. We met our quota, and weeks later, it was the day of the assembly, and I finally got my chance in the money machine. It was hard as hell, all caps. Here's a caveat. I don't know if this is true of all money machines, but in this particular machine, we needed to not only grab the money from the air, but also slide each bill that was captured through a small collection slot.
What?
This process ate up a lot of valuable time as gale force winds pelted my 9-year-old frame. Yes, so you had to stick each dollar in through the slot.
No, that's not fair.
I know, it's not fair.
Also, it should be a fist-sized slot,
totally.
If anything.
A tiny child fist-sized slot, for sure.
I guess that wouldn't be a slot, then it would be a hole. It would just be
a hole. I couldn't just shove the bills into my inner cardigan pockets the way you so eloquently described, if only. I wish I remembered the exact amount, but if I had to guess, I'd say I probably came away with about $7, which in today's money is $12.82.
Well done.
Yeah. Love you all, and thanks for reading. Stay sexy, and don't let your 9 and 11-year-olds moonlight as door-to-door salesman, Bridget.
Bridget, what a life you've led.
Yeah,
I mean... You broke the rules. You got it done. You got in there.
You peaked at 9, though. How do you feel about that?
I mean, what money booth type equivalent is in your future. I don't know.
what can top that?
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
I'm not going to read the subject line. Hi, y'all. You put out a call for jury duty stories. And though this one is not nearly as exciting as the Whitey Bulger story, it's a pretty interesting anecdote to share at parties. By the by, I got a jury duty notification.
You did?
Yeah. And then I went and signed up real fast because I've never done jury duty.
Oh, wow.
I went and signed up real fast for it and then realized it was right when we're taking vacation.
Oh, so no.
I signed up, I freaked out. And then I called my sister and she's like, yeah, you just go on there and ask for a what do you call
extension.
It? Deferral or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting.
So now I have jury duty in July and I really can't wait to be like, well, I do have a true crime podcast, but I think I could do a great job for you. Okay. Anyway, this is not about me. This is about this email, which is about jury duty.
Okay.
In 2012, I was 21 and living with my parents when I received a jury duty summons in the mail. And here's where the coincidence starts. My mom also got a jury duty summons. Huh. Weird, right? What are the odds? I don't know. I'm asking. And then in parentheses, it says probably very slim. But it gets weirder. When jury duty summonses are sent out, there are several different groups within the larger group of everyone who got a letter. My understanding is that everyone is sorted entirely at random. Every night we called the number to see if we'd have to appear, and every night it was a no, until the last one. Hmm. To make a long story short, through several random rounds of elimination, my mom and I ended up being in the final 18 people.
What?
After each elimination, we just kept glancing at each other like, how is this happening? The judge took us through a standard line of questioning to determine if we would be a good fit for this case. He talked to me first and then a few others before landing on my mom's name on the list. He paused, looked up, and said, Kimberly, are you any relation to Elizabeth? To which my mom replied, she's my daughter. Gasps in the courtroom. The judge looked at the prosecution and defense and asked if they had any qualms with a mother and daughter on the jury. They said no.
What?
And that's how my mom and I ended up serving as jurors on the same case.
Oh my God.
It is also my hope that that will be the most dramatic thing to ever happen to me in a courtroom. I'm sure you will be curious about the case itself, but it was a pretty straightforward cocaine bust, nothing too salacious. Anyways, stay sexy and don't sell someone else's cocaine. It's against the law, Lizzie.
Wow. I mean, don't sell your own cocaine too, I would suggest.
Not yours, not someone else's.
No, yeah.
Don't hold it as a favor.
Right.
Just stay away. Just say, oh, I'm sorry, I have an allergic reaction to that.
Exactly.
Stay away.
Stay away. That was a good one. Great job, everyone.
Yeah, another great batch.
Yeah.
They just keep coming.
Truly.
We're so grateful.
Truly, truly.
Yeah, thanks for your emails and stay sexy.
And don't get murdered. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Elvis, do you want a cookie?
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Our producer is Alejandra Keck.
And this episode was engineered and mixed by Stephen Ray Morris.
Stephen! Email your hometowns and fucking hoorays to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com.
Follow the show on Instagram and Facebook at myfavoritemurder and Twitter at myfavemurder.
Goodbye.
Follow My Favorite Murder on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase My Favorite Murder merch.